Welcome to the Motivated Mompreneur Podcast. Hi, I'm Hillary Bennett, former corporate stooge turned motivated mompreneur. After becoming a mom, I realized the two options offered to moms did not work for me. I didn't want to be a stay-at-home mom, but I didn't want to work a normal 9-to-5 job either. I wanted to live into my professional calling and be a present, joyful mom. So I left my 9-to-5 and started coaching motivated mompreneurs just like you to build and grow successful, sustainable, heart-centered businesses without sacrificing their family. Join me each week as we dive into business strategy, mindset and productivity tips, inspiration, and a lot of laughs. Let's get to it. Hey, mamas, welcome to another episode of the Motivated Mompreneur Podcast. I am Hillary Bennett, your mompreneur business growth coach, and I am here today talking with Sandra Francisco, who is the CEO and founder of Idea to Profit. Sandra is blessed with two teenagers, and in addition to soaking up all that family time, she loves helping entrepreneurs tap into their body and soul's intelligence and to use that intellect to execute their intelligence. Sandra, I am so excited to have you on the show today. Welcome.
Oh, thank you so much, Hillary. I'm so excited to have this conversation with you.
Wonderful. Well, let's dive right in then. So why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and your family?
Yeah. So I always love to start with the fact that I am a nature lover. Aside from my kids, that's like the most important thing to me. I love being in nature, especially like deep in nature where there's no power lines and I'm just out there. It's just my dream. And I have two teenagers, which is my daughter just turning 13. So we'll see how that goes. Because I'm no different. My son's 15 and he's great, but I know the girls can be different. So I'm bracing myself. I absolutely love what I do. But the most amazing thing is that I've been able to create a life where I can create, I don't like the word balance, but the harmony in I can work when I work. And then it's like, okay, I have the control and the ability to say, I'm offline now for this period of time. I'm going to go do things for me, do things for my family. And that to me is the greatest blessing of being an entrepreneur.
Oh my gosh. Yes. I love too that what you said is that you have the ability to go offline and do things for you before you even said do things for your family. That is beautiful. I have just this year incorporated a 3-day work week, and Fridays are for me. As much as I can keep them that way, I get to do what I want to do while husband's at work and kids are at school. Of course, that's all going to be changing. My daughter's last day of school is tomorrow. But yeah, that is amazing. And I completely resonate with this idea of being able to get out into true nature. It's so necessary for us to do some of that reconnecting because we are so just engrossed in all of the electronics. I mean, even if you're someone who doesn't watch TV or, you know, manages screen time appropriately, it's just part of everyday life. So
it
that's
is
wonderful.
Right?
So why don't you tell us a little bit about Idea to Profit and what you do in helping entrepreneurs?
Yeah. So Idea to Profit is a couple of years old now. It's another baby. And I actually started, so when I left corporate 11 years ago, I started consulting in what I knew best, which was product development and actually bringing products and services to life. And over the years, it's developed from consulting to coaching, and it was one-on-one coaching for a long time. And the group format of Idea to Profit really was to help brand new entrepreneurs to be able to bring things to market. Usually people that are starting out with an idea, sometimes they don't even have an idea. The funds available to get a coach are usually not there to get one-on-one. Mm-hmm. Only a few people can really afford that. But I saw the benefit working with my clients when they were launching a new product or a new service. And I really wanted to bring that to people that were brand new to business. And I, like I said, I am so, so grateful for this life and for being an entrepreneur and having all of the benefits that it comes with, that I really wanted to be able to provide that to more people. So that's where Idea to Profit came in, which is a group program. And it does bring people in from brand new. They could even not even have an idea, and they're starting with just a desire and they want to figure out that idea, or they know exactly what they want to do, but they need that system to take them through the phases of development to go from idea to profit. Because at the end of the day, launch is great, but then what we really want is profit.
Yes. Yes, and I think that this will ring true with so many moms who are working that 9 to 5 because their family is dependent upon that income. I know I was in that situation. I was in corporate America for almost 12 years, and I was the primary earner for my family. And so we depended upon that income. So to leave, even though every cell in my body was saying, you need to get out of here and have more flexibility and more freedom. At some point in time, you have to be logical, right? And so I think that's so wonderful that you are giving a springboard to be able to create a life that you intentionally desire, but without, keeping you keep your feet on the ground. You have to make logical choices to be able to continue to support your family. So that is really excellent. And I love too that it is the group format because, oh wow, we learn so much from each other, don't we?
And that's, you know what, that's the other benefit that I didn't even see coming at first. I really did. The reason for the group was actually to make it more affordable for people to come in. And then I started to watch that magic unfold, like people connecting, helping each other. And I'm like, wow, this is even more beneficial than I even expected it to be. I didn't see that coming, actually.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The group format has so many hidden gems, because you do get that personal support and connection with people that are going through something just like you, which is all, I mean, really, it's priceless. It's always so wonderful. So I will stop saying how much I love this idea and what you're doing and give you some airtime to help the moms that are listening to this call understand what is that framework to help them move into being more in control of their life. So maybe they're sitting at they're doing a 9 to 5, or they have, some work that they're working for someone else. But like me, every cell in their body is like, I want to find a way out so I can have more freedom. Walk us through what that process might look like.
Yes, and I understand that, and it's very resonant, I think, to a lot of people. And one of the biggest challenges in that space is what you've said. It's I want to, I have a huge desire. I don't know how. I don't even believe it's possible because how will I replace this income and how fast can I do that? So I've worked with many, many entrepreneurs that have started part-time, some still working part-time 2, 3 years later, and that works for them. Some then transition to full time. It's absolutely possible to start something part time that gives you either the income you're looking for and you still want to keep your job, or start it part time and transition it to full time. I really want to get that across because I find a lot of people that come to me initially don't even believe that that's possible. The key element is that you've got to have patience and understand that timing is a factor. So it's not going to, I mean, no limitations, anybody can do anything, but it's likely not going to happen in 6 months to a year to go build a business part-time and be able to fully make up your income, depending on how your income is. But typically, it's going to take somebody doing part-time, maybe 2 to 3 years, to really get that stability, get that income to a level that they can replace it. Again, depending on the product and service you're doing, that can be drastically different. But what I have found is when you give yourself upfront patience and grace, and you follow that desire and you start taking steps towards it and you start building it, but you don't have that expectation that it's just going to have to transpire overnight, you actually give yourself a much, much better landing board to actually get your business out into the world. That I see all the time is that pressure we put on ourselves, and then people burn out before they can get their business out the door.
Oh my gosh, yes.
I do. I see it so many times. So but I also see people be very successful. It just takes a little bit longer. And I think that has to do with, in what we get in social media, what we get out media in general about, entrepreneurship is, it's like you have this magical idea, like you're an Elon Musk, and all of a sudden you bring something brand new to the world, and before you know it, you're a billionaire. It's like there's so much of that out there, but the reality, 80 to 90% of businesses that are out there that are successful didn't come out that way. They're not new inventions. They're not something brand new. They don't happen overnight. They take years to build, but they are sustainable and successful over the long period of time. So that reality I always like to bring to the table. Now, in terms of the structure that I go through, which is a structure that I've spent over 20 years in building products, businesses, and services, actually walks you through 4 phases, which starts with explore, then plan, then develop, then launch. A lot of entrepreneurs love to explore something and then go right into launch. And often the plan development gets missed because there's either no knowledge of it, or there's a little bit of knowledge, but there's hesitation because it sounds boring. It sounds like work. But there are fundamental things that you need to do in both plan and development that are going to help you to create sustainable profit and success over time. So in my program, this is what I take people through. The Explore is, everybody loves Explore. It really is. If you don't already have an idea, then you're going to explore the best business idea for you. If you're coming with an idea, then we're going to go deeper into actually target market research, figuring out how do you define your audience. Looking at also, you know, I should say that my program is a mix of business and personal. So in 1 week we're doing business and we're doing personal. We're also going to be exploring the things that happen to humans when you're building a business, like self-doubt, fears, overwhelm. These are things that happen to people in jobs, but definitely when you're out there on your own, having to create value, having to create prices and ask people to pay you specifically for something you're giving them. These are things that also need to be dealt with as you're going through these phases.
Oh my gosh. Yes. That mindset is so critical because it can completely derail you. And my personal story is that when I first started my business, I didn't have those things dialed in. And that business that I started failed. And I think that the biggest reason why it failed was because I let fear and imposter syndrome dictate the show. Like, it was running the show. And so I love that you include, you know, what's going on in the brain and the heart and the soul as you're trying to build this business, because it's a real deal. It's not something that you can just say, oh, that's warm and fuzzy stuff. I don't need to touch that. I'm going to stick to, you know, the nuts and bolts of this process, because at least for me, it reared its ugly head and it did not go well.
Yeah. And you know what? I have a great deal of respect for people that do just want to do the mechanics and the nuts and bolts. And I'm sure that there's many businesses that are successful making money, and success is what you define it, but making money just in that manner. So total respect to that. It's just for me, my audience and the people that I can best help want more than just that mechanics. They really want to be fulfilled. They want to be proud with it, what they've achieved. They want to have profit. They also want to feel good about themselves. They want some harmony in life and business. So it just depends the level of consciousness and awareness and what you want. It's not that there's anything wrong with it, or that it's not possible to have a profitable business and all you were doing is mechanically going through the business steps. I did that for many years in corporate. That's all we ever did. There was absolutely no human. It's like in corporate, you're supposed to leave your human self at home and then go to work.
Yes.
But there is another way to do it. So for people that are already drawn to that, that already want to be human beings showing up in their business, and especially they want their brand, their marketing to feel authentic and to be them, then that's what I cater to.
Love that. So you do a little bit of that and explore both on, you know, the product and service side, as well as the what's going on inside for the person. And you said the next step is plan. So why don't you give us a little bit of insight into what's involved with the planning phase?
Yes. And planning, I know, especially creative entrepreneurs, they do not want to do it. They just don't want to do it. And I understand. I'm much more structured, but I understand that. So in plan, a lot of people think that the hesitation is, well, I've got to do this 20-page business plan. I'll skip it. You only really have to do that kind of formal plan if you are going for investor money or for going for loans. If you're doing it for yourself, there's a much easier and simpler way to do a plan, but you should still do a plan. So for me, I've created for my clients what I call a purpose-based plan. It's really can fit into 1 to 3 pages, depending on, you know, how much you have knowledge of at the time as you're building your business. It grows with you in time, but it really just hones in on the key aspects of what is it you're trying to create as an outcome? Why? So we dig into that purpose and what's in it for you, what's in it for the community, for clients, for your family. Why are you doing this? And then the what, which is the mechanics. Well, how are you going to get there? What needs to happen when? And the what gets scheduled, gets moved into different places. And this is a living plan as you build your business. So it's something that I've gotten creatives to at least adopt and do that. And they always tell me, well, I just always skipped because I thought it was this formal 20-page plan I didn't even want to look at. So it does not have to be that. It can be simpler, but it's still very important to go through activities and planning, looking at things that if you don't do it there, they're going to come up when you're launching, when you're marketing. And by that time, you're going to spend money learning those lessons. So better to do it in planning stage.
I totally agree. And I also think that there's some freedom that can come with planning. And that seems a little counterintuitive. I've had some clients that are afraid to plan because what they don't want is to realize that they really shouldn't be doing this.
Oh, yes.
Right? It's like, oh, I don't want to know how much money I'm going to have to invest yet. Like, I'll just figure it out along the way, which, you know, I definitely, my money mantra is like, more money is coming my way and God has provided for today. So I understand being able to have, you know, a healthy, fluid relationship with that. However, you can equip yourself so much better if you at least do a little bit of that plan, understanding like what are the bare minimums of what I'm going to need. And then you can actually see, okay, this is doable. And you can take away some of that fear. So although it may, especially to those creatives, I totally agree with you. You may like, oh no, I don't want to do this. This isn't my thing. I don't know that I need to do it. It can really provide freedom and confidence to say, okay, you can do this. And again, it's that logical side. If you are in corporate right now and wanting to leave, a business plan is something that can really empower you to feel sure that you're taking the right steps.
Yes. And, you know, I love what you said about it. It's an avoidance tactic, right? I agree with you. I see that all the time. But this is one thing I will say, you already know, you may not have put it on paper, but you already know there's some areas that could cause a problem later on. You're carrying that with you in your energy and in your mind. That will also hinder your performance. And if you put it on paper and you actually address it, and it may be that, oh, okay, well, this way that I was thinking of doing it isn't going to work, or this idea may not be the one, you're so much better off to do it early than to carry it for 6 months and then get into launch and realize, oh, I knew this was going to happen, because that is an emotional toll you're carrying.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Amen to that. I am over the mental and emotional burden of doing just that, of avoiding what you could very easily, and maybe easily is not the right word, but that you could take off of your shoulders by just tackling it when you need to tackle it, because that emotional and mental burden, it truly takes a toll. You know, you talked about, wanting to help people avoid entrepreneurial burnout. I think especially for moms, you know, that's who's listening. These are mamas and they're not in a position to be able to quote unquote do whatever it takes because they're not willing to sacrifice their families. And we are already as moms carrying such a mental and emotional load, right? We don't have a lot of room for other things. And so I think that this planning piece and what you've just said really is so critical to get across. It's like, let's not carry any more than we need to carry.
Exactly. Exactly. I hope somebody that needed to hear that has heard that today.
Yes. Yes, you can do it, Mama. It's not as scary as you think. It will be freeing, actually. Awesome. Okay. So we've talked about, the dreaded plan, although not so dreaded in reality. Let's talk about development. I'm excited to hear what this phase is all about.
Yeah. So in development, I mean, clearly you're developing that product or that service, but there's also that time to really dig into that market research. So once you've got something to show people, it's, you know, what some people call beta. It's really, really important. Now, again, I come from the actual product world where we never launched anything if we didn't test it, right? And there's so much gold that you're going to find in running some kind of testing. If it's formal beta testing, or if it's just, you know, you're going on Facebook groups and you're exposing people to it, whether it's a reduced price or free or whatever it is to expose. For one, you can get testimonials. You can actually learn and understand how people are going to react to this early on before you've put more investment towards it, before you've marketed it a certain way. Because if people are giving you feedback, maybe the way you're planning, the language that you're going to use, the way that you were going to market it to who you're going to market to may not be on target. So while you're beta testing, you can check the features of it. If it's a product, that's even more important, but you're also going to learn the language that people are using to tell you whether it's good or not good, or, you know, they're having issues with this, or they're seeing huge benefits there. Paying attention to how they're reacting to this product or service is going to pay off so much for you to do that during the development phase. So of course you got to, you know, develop it, price it, but then also test it.
Oh, so important. And I think there's so much value that you touched on with being able to test it. I think the biggest piece is, especially for our online service-based mompreneurs, is those testimonials. because for people who have a small audience, which most of our mompreneurs, you know, they're within their first few years of business, we've got a small audience, we have a small email list. Being able to have those testimonials is what can really get that ball rolling in creating repeat business, referral business, people willing to hand over their credit card without having to sit down with you for an hour. And being able to get that during the test phase is like, you can then accelerate that process for you. I cannot emphasize enough how critical testimonials are. So for no other reason, beta test it for testimonials, Mama. That is so key. And I'm so glad, Sandra, that you brought that up.
And the other benefit you get also with the testimonials is you believe in it, because that's going to make a huge difference. If you're going to market cold, meaning I just built it, I priced it, and I'm going to market it. Let's see, cross my fingers, see what happens once I put it out there and somebody buys it. Likely, you're also not 100% confident in what you're putting out there. So that time in beta and getting those testimonials, marketing those testimonials, but you also believing in what you're putting out there.
Mm, yes. So I have a question about how you might coach some of your students through this idea of done is better than perfect. It's such a balance is what I have found, and I'm a recovering perfectionist. We can't wait until it's perfect. If we wait, we've waited way too long. But also in this testing and developing phase, we're wanting to get it as good as we can before we launch, right? And so how do you coach people around that balance of making sure it's as good as it can be without waiting too long because you're trying to achieve perfection?
That's a great question. And that does happen a lot, because that, again, now that is something that I work with through the personal development part of the program, because it is like a mix of both. That always comes down to beliefs. Usually that comes down to what you were taught as a child and where you gather value. So in order for you to actually feel valuable, feel worthy, you had to be 100% perfect. And you picked that up somewhere. That didn't happen in adulthood. That always happens early on from teachers, parents, somewhere you pick that up. So that's part of actually going into that human being and having those conversations. Where do those beliefs come from? What are exactly what you're believing? Why are you stalling? So knowing when that time is, if you're getting feedback and, you know, 80% of the feedback is positive, you're more than good to go, but you're still holding back because it's not 100%. Or even if, and I've seen this before, it's like 99.9%, everything looks great. It's all positive. It's all like, can't wait to see this. It's great. And then you have that one comment, just like that one person that says, oh, I don't think anybody's going to buy this. And you stall everything. That is not about the development of the product. That is about the mentality of the human being developing that product. And what does that mean? It's a safety issue. It actually becomes very scary to put something out into the world that could be rejected. So that is when we start to dig into worthiness, you know, beliefs about what does it mean if somebody rejects you, rejects the product, but really in this, if you're, you know, an entrepreneur, it's always rejection of self that, you know, we have to work at it for a long time to separate and to realize that not everybody's going to buy your product. Not everybody's going to love your product. That's nothing to do with you. But in the beginning, it's very hard. It's usually very attached. So definitely that's the personal development side of things.
Wow. That's so key. Amazing. Okay. The last step is launch. How exciting, how terrifying. Walk us through it.
And you know what? Most people, they just want to get to launch, right? They're just so, so excited. Yes, there's fears, but they're just so excited to get it out there. What I find is most of the time they're going to launch too early, but I've never had anybody not want to get to launch. That's like celebrate party time. Let's launch. Launch is really in my program is all elements of marketing. So it's actually getting your lead strategy in place, your lead conversion, because sometimes people go very heavy on lead strategy and lead generation and had done no work on conversion. It's like, yeah, you've got great funnels, got all this stuff out there. And then how does that get converted to a sale? Or you spend hours and hours and hours on social media, putting all kinds of content, never converting anything, right? So it's really, I spend a lot more time on conversion than lead generation, because that's the weakness I find. People throw all kinds of things against the wall, but don't have a lead conversion strategy. So it's very heavily in all the marketing tools, picking the right channels for you. The other, the thing that I do see in launch is there's a tendency to just follow the crowd. Oh, you know, what works is social media. So I'm ready to launch my product or service. I'm going to go heavy into social media. I have this, my month's content plan. And that's like 90% of your marketing plan is just what you're going to put out in social media. That is not likely going to convert to sales without a conversion strategy and a funnel or something else attached to social media content, as well as social media takes time to build brand and to convert and to engage in all of that. There's other tactics that you can use in sales and lead gen and lead conversion that will probably get you those sales faster. But because there's such a, you know, common social belief that, you know, the thing to do is to go on social media, it's almost like all these other channels get forgotten. In my program, I list out 50 different channels, and there's more than 50, but I just list 50 for them to be able to see. You can choose any of these channels. There's something also to be said about things that don't necessarily happen online. There's also offline strategies that are still available in this world, and people have somehow forgotten that that's an option. So that's what I really dig in inside of launch, is all things marketing.
Yes. And I was having a really interesting conversation with one of my clients the other day, and she said that she was in a clubhouse room and they were discussing which is more important, marketing or sales. And she looked at me like, are they kidding right now? Because you can't sell if you don't market, but would you ever want to market and not sell? Like, why are we debating the two? And I think that that's exactly what you're saying. Like, yes, you need to work on marketing and lead generation, but if you don't convert, what's the point? You have to have both.
Mm-hmm. It's like, do you want to eat or do you want to breathe? I don't know. Yes. Which one would you like?
Exactly. You know, and I think that is really critical to understand too. We have this perception that social media is the be all end all, but we don't control social media. It is ever changing. We're always, you know, battling the logarithms. The reach is terrible on social media. I mean, however many followers you have on any given platform, they're probably, you're only going to reach 1 to maybe 5% of them. If you're like a rock star, you're hitting 5%. And so I love the fact that you're encouraging them to look beyond social media for some options, for some channel options, because I think that it's just become a status quo that we don't even question anymore. And that can definitely leave some opportunities on the table.
Yeah, 100%.
So Sandra, you've walked us through the four phases of how you help someone go from idea to profit. And I think that you've really provided some incredible tidbits along the way. And our listeners are definitely interested in learning how they may be able to work with you or connect with you and learn more from you. So where do you hang out and how can the listeners continue to work with you?
Oh, thank you for the opportunity. The best place is actually my website, which is sandraifrancisco.com. And right there, if you're a brand new entrepreneur, there's a free course that will help you choose the best business idea for you and help you to start exploring your business idea. And if you are an established entrepreneur, been in business for years, you're looking to scale and grow, I'd love to offer you a free strategy session, which you can book at strategywithsandra.com. And I'd love to help you to really hone in on what is good and right for you, because as we were talking about with social media. People just pick what's out there and what's common for other people, but it may not be the right strategy for you to grow and scale.
Yes. Yes. And especially as we, as mompreneurs, I said, we're not willing to do whatever it takes. And we are really striving to find that time and financial freedom by being able to share our gifts with the world. Like, it's this beautiful combination of passion, but then having that freedom. And so taking that time, if you are an established entrepreneur, to say, what do I want for me? What will work best for me is critical in order to achieve that, you know, hashtag mompreneur lifestyle that we're all searching for.
Yes.
Wonderful. Well, I will make sure that all of those links are in the show notes. Sandra, thank you so much for joining us today, for walking us through your four-part framework and for giving us so much information. So appreciate that. And I am just grateful to have had you on the show.
Thank you so much, Hillary. It's been my pleasure.
All right, mamas. Thank you as well for listening to this episode of The Motivated Mompreneur. And be sure to come back next week for another dose of inspiration and information to build the business of your dreams without sacrificing your family. As a mom, I know that your most valuable resource is your time. And I thank you from the bottom of my heart for tuning in. If you like what you hear and want to connect more, head over to my website at hillarybennett.com or find me on Instagram at themotivatedmompreneur, and let's get to know each other better. Also, if you could take a couple of minutes to leave me a rating and review, that will help me reach other amazing mompreneurs to share their gifts with the world.
Thanks for listening to my mommy's podcast. Mwah!